Hello, welcome to Red Voices, the official Man United podcast. I'm Mark Sullivan from MUTV. This week, I'm joined by Adam Marshall, Adam Bostock, and Steve Bartram from the club website. Coming up in today's show, we pay tribute to Sir Alex Ferguson as he celebrated 25 years in charge at Old Trafford. We'll reflect on the visit of Steve Bruce's Sunderland to the Theatre of Dreams. We turn our attention to internationals as the Reds take a break from the Premier League. And finally, we answer the fans' questions, which have been sent via red.voices@manunited.co.uk.
"25 years as Manchester United manager. That's some achievement, isn't it?"
"It's magnificent, and aren't we glad?"
"I mean, in those early days, I don't think anyone, let alone him, could have predicted just the success that he's had here. Was there a sense, though, that he was the right man for the job right from the start?"
"Well, a lot of people believed in him and a lot of people didn't. I was a believer, to be honest, because once, like having Matt Busby here, a great Scottish manager, and then Sir Alex coming, and we needed somebody like that. And he was not just a chip off the old block. He was a visionary. He could see ahead and things like that. He knew things. And he had this youth policy as well, and he's still got it. So he did everything right for me. It was a bit tricky at the start, but he overcame that very good."
"How much of United's modern-day success is down to Sir Alex?"
"As much as it can be down to one person. Nobody can do more than he's done for any football club. It might sound over the top, but that's the way I feel about him, and I know a lot of the people, a lot of former players feel that way."
Those are the thoughts of Wilf McGuinness, a Busby babe, a former player and manager at Manchester United. So, Steve Bartram, perfectly placed to say just how it is. Sir Alex, incredible achievement, 25 years at the helm of this club, a feat which will surely never again be repeated.
"Oh, no chance. I mean, it's when you think about it, it's absolutely staggering that anyone could pin down a managerial job these days for 25 years, let alone one at this club with all the pressure and everything, and to be so successful as well. I mean, we've been lucky enough to have Matt Busby, and I'm sure no one thought that anyone could emulate him. But the manager's gone on and done that, and it's just amazing."
Adam Bostock, 25 years ago, when Sir Alex joined, no one could have envisaged it would have lasted this long. Do you remember back then at all what it was like when he joined?
"Well, vaguely.
You weren't working then."
I wasn't even on work experience. I was only 13 at the time, but I think I can remember the change of manager, because the manager I sort of remember watching prior to that, of course, was a big run, and watching the cup finals of 83 and 85. And big run, you know, for the short period he was at Manchester United, seemed to be, you know, the public face of the club, and he seemed to sort of embody much of the spirit, the glamour, the flamboyance, if you will, of Manchester United. So it was quite a surprise then to see him go. And of course, Alex Ferguson, as he was then, just plain old Alex Ferguson came in, and little did we know it was about to follow. Adam on my left here perhaps remembers a bit better than I, because he's a little bit older than me.
Maybe slightly.
You were 20, weren't you?
Yeah, I seem to remember, like, coming in from school and seeing it on teletext, on the breaking news, and sort of on the news rather than the sports news. And again, even in those days, you appreciated how big United were. You know, it wasn't just a sports story, it was a main news story. And we all sort of knew Ferguson at that time from his exploits with Aberdeen, obviously, and because of the World Cup with Scotland. So I think it was some sort of thing that he might have got the Scotland job full-time, but obviously he didn't go down that route, and thankfully for us it all worked out really well, didn't it? So.
But it didn't start off too well for Alex Ferguson as he was then. Yet he early on planted the seeds which would grow into the club as it is now.
I guess that's why the club deserves an enormous amount of credit, don't they? They stood by him. It was a long process, you know, that Rome wasn't built in a day. We don't get to instantly, you know, succeed unless you throw a load of money at it. It seems nowadays that might get you up the league table, but in those days, obviously, it was more cautious sort of approach. And like you said, the youth team was obviously a key thing. He built the youth again up from the roots of that, really. We had this sort of great team, obviously, in the late 90s. So I think, you know, the fact that he was given time, he just, for me, I always ask him, why don't more teams do it? You know, why don't more teams give managers time? Because it does give them the opportunity to bed in and sort of have their own influence there.
And most managers that come into a new club, they just rebuild the team. But he actually came in here and rebuilt the club.
Yeah, he took it a very hands-on approach. He was involved in everything, wasn't he? Every part of the club, training.
Scouting, really,
the food they would eat. He'd even get involved in secretarial and accountancy work, I'm sure. But that kind of approach is a bit of a dinosaur, really. It doesn't happen in the club these days. Everything is so divided, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, a manager now just walks in and just takes care of the football side of things. So, I mean, I think that just serves to underline what an incredible job the manager's done here.
And such a big club to do with that.
Absolutely. And it's, of all the pages, many, many pages and millions of words that have been written about Sir Alex in the past week or so, and some of them have been written by the people around this table. I really enjoyed reading sort of the behind-the-scenes stuff with Lynn Laffin, his long-term PA. In fact, I think she was here as Ron Atkinson's PA before the manager's arrival. And to hear her talking on MUTV about how he came in and insisted that if we were going to win the league, it was going to be a team effort. And by that, he meant everyone from, you know, the canteen staff, the cleaners, the chairman, we all had to be as one. And hence, he learned everybody's name, he learned everything about their families, and it, you know, he really sort of cultivated this family ethos and atmosphere that I think is still there today. Any visitor to Carrington would probably feel that same family feel if you were at Carrington. The way the club has developed means that now here at Old Trafford, here is very much the business centre. But the football family that was there 25 years ago, you still get that same feeling, I think, when you walk through the doors of Carrington.
But he's evolved as the world has evolved around him, the football world in particular, hasn't he? And that probably is the key to his longevity.
Yeah, adapt or die, some people say, don't they? And he's certainly adapted time and time again. And he's very much, you know, he's very much got his finger on the pulse, has done throughout these 25 years. And I think now, you know, for all that we've enjoyed looking back, you know, he, the very top of the list, is looking forward, you know, and he's really relishing the challenges now that have come his way from across the road.
That sums him up pretty well, I think. He will rarely look back, will he? He's always looking forward. Adam, how much longer will he continue to look forward? I mean, how much longer will he be managing this club?
I think none of us really want to ever think about him not being here. I mean, it's hard to even imagine, isn't it, for most of us who've known, certainly all of our adult lives, that he's been here and been in charge. I mean, there's some talk that he may have hinted that it could be another 3 years even that he's still here, and maybe even beyond that, and, you know, he'll keep wanting to go on and not want to relinquish control.
He turns 70 on New Year's Eve, doesn't he?
I know. I mean, I suppose you have had other managers who've gone on the continent perhaps for a long time, but it seems pretty unique to be going this far. And I saw Dario Guardi sort of stepped down today, hasn't he? Crewe is another one who's been in charge a long time, although he's staying on, I think, as academy. But, yeah, hopefully for as long as possible. I can't... Don't even really want to think about him not being in charge, because we know how good he is and how much we trust him with every decision he makes. Really.
Yeah, I do not want to think about that moment either. But he has got life left in him, because he's such a fit person, such a healthy person, really strong of character and mind, and he will go on for as long as he possibly can at this club.
Yeah, that's underscored his whole thing here, is that he's relentless. You know,
he keeps mentioning the health angle, as long as I'm healthy, he says, doesn't he? And he's really healthy. We see him about Carrington. We get the honour of chatting to him and interviewing. He's so sharp, so focused, isn't he, and really healthy.
Yeah, it's cliched that he's always first in the building. He's, you know, he's always in the gym as well. So, yeah, his health, as long as his health keeps up, which it shows no sign of abating, then, yeah, carry on.
And we've seen him build so many teams here. This latest team is building. When you look at the youngsters, Welbeck, Cleverley, Phil Jones, Smalling, it's like another new set of players that are getting together. Maybe we'll see the best of them in a few years' time, and he'll want to be part of that.
Exactly. I mean, he's rebuilt all these teams time and time again, kept things evolving. But when's it, you know, you don't build it just to hand it over to somebody. He wants to enjoy watching this team mature and succeed.
OK, let's hear what the fans think then of Sir Alex Ferguson celebrating 25 years as manager of Manchester United.
Personally, he's kind of God, he's kind of godly figure who can stabilize, you can monopolize, you can stimulate the group by his way of participating in a whole lot of the game, and that's why I'm taking that kind of movement away in my profession also. So.
Well, I've seen a few T-shirts around with people saying the Godfather. I think that pretty much sums it up. He is the club, and he's made it what it is.
Sir Alex's football. Sir Alex is football and Man United. There'll be no Man United now without Sir Alex. We wouldn't be where we are today without Sir Alex.
Well, it's like a grandpa for me, actually, you know? I don't know if you have a grandpa, but mine died a very long time ago, so it's more like this replacement for my grandpa.
A legend. That's all we can say, is a legend.
Well, Sir Alex Ferguson celebrated his 25th anniversary as manager of Manchester United with a victory over Sunderland.
Well, what a special weekend at Old Trafford. This stadium marking Sir Alex Ferguson's 25th anniversary as United manager. Guard of honour from the two teams, and then the stage is his. And, Paddy, this must be an emotional moment for him. Bentner is away from Evra. Bentner, side footer, good save by Lindegaard. Late corner in the first half. Welbeck's there, it's headed in. Could have been an own goal, but Danny Welbeck went up. And United lead, and they've scored in first half stoppage time. Hasn't been a great half. Frankly, it doesn't matter, because United lead by a goal to nil. I'm not at all sure he got the final touch, and it could well have been Wes Brown with an own goal. How unfortunate for Wes Brown. Larson, dangerous ball in towards Ji Dong Won. Oh, I wonder if that was handball.
The penalty, he's given a
referee's seen something and given a penalty. Oh, he's given it the other way. Oh, dear. Look at that. Larson was just about to take the penalty, put the ball on the spot, and he's given it the other way. Evra shot. Deflected. Not cleared properly, finishes in there again. Still Vidic, he goes down, Rooney's there, great save, Evra! Oh, double save! Sensational! Save. It's finished at Old Trafford, Manchester United 1, Sunderland 0.
Well, Adam, sadly the game didn't quite live up to the occasion, did it?
I'm afraid not, no. I think the moment where the North Stand's new name was revealed was perhaps the highlight of the day. Alas, I think it wasn't helped, actually, in fairness, by the early injury to Connor Wickham. I think that sort of took the wind out of people's sails a little bit, because it happened so early in the game and there was that pause just as you're trying to get going and move on from what we've just witnessed, which is the celebrations, and get into a bread and butter English league fixture. So that didn't perhaps help. But thereafter, it was perhaps a performance that's been a little bit typical of late, a little bit laboured in parts. But in saying that, United achieved a fourth consecutive clean sheet. So the manager's determination to sort of go back to basics after the horror show of the derby, yielded another result in that respect. That's actually now the first time since 08-09 that we've kept four clean sheets on the bounce. That was the Edwin van der Sar record run, of course. So something had to perhaps give in the short term, you know, get back to keeping the defence tight, become difficult to beat again, and perhaps over time we can then bring back the attacking flow of the early part of the
season. And we limited the number of chances for Sunderland. I did the big match the day after on MUTV, and we looked at the statistics. Sunderland only had the one shot on target, a Bentner effort in the first half.
Yeah.
I think 10 overall attempts, but we were conceding 20-25 in previous matches.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, our new goalkeepers, be it Anders or David De Gea, were too busy, to be honest, and of course did very, very well, more often than not. But yeah, he was determined to cut that number down, and he did.
Sunderland's start of the season has been a little bit ropey, hasn't it, Adam? You know, a few Sunderland fans, you can explain more there,
yeah,
but are probably well placed to say how you summarise their season so far.
Well, I think, as we all know, they changed a lot of players in the summer, and we spoke about continuity with our manager, and yeah, it would have been daft for them to get rid of Steve Bruce, really, you know, especially when he's brought in so many players. You do wonder when any side sort of changes their playing staff completely, as they seem to do. They did under Roy Keane a lot. He brought in a lot of new players. So it's never great. You're always sort of having that time to bed in. I think once they do bed in, I think they're going to be OK. They've had a couple of decent performances. Did OK at Liverpool early on, didn't they? And, you know, they got a draw there, and I think they beat Bolton away. So, you know, doing OK. It's always going to be hard for them at Old Trafford, but I thought they, you know, acquitted themselves pretty well, really, in the main. I mean, they were still in the game going into the last few seconds. I mean, you can't really ask for much more than that when you play United away. And I just hope they stick by Bruce. He's obviously a good manager. He's obviously proved himself in the Premier League. You know, there's no doubt that he's one of the top managers in the country. And I just hope there's no knee-jerk reaction to get rid of him or any calls for his head, as we see all the time now, don't we, other clubs?
Yeah, hopefully not. He's a good guy, as Bruce, a good manager as well. Doing that big match on MUTV, Steve, I was working with Gary Pallister. He felt that Bruce should be given more time. It'd be hard to think he'd be under pressure there, wouldn't it?
Well, it's a results business, isn't it? And they've not started very well. They didn't finish especially well last year, if memory serves. And they have thrown a lot of money at the team. So the new owner, or new chairman, whichever one it is going to... is going to want to see results sooner rather than later.
Yes, Steve, but if we can win these games while we're playing badly or not playing well, then surely performances will eventually follow.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're still picking our way back to form after the 6-1, aren't we? It's a result that continues to resonate, and the manager covered it at the time by saying, you know, we have to just get solid again, be compact and gradually eke your way back to form. As scary as it might be for some fans to see City banging in goals left, right and centre, you know, they've got an almost perfect record. They'll be just as perturbed by seeing us not playing very well and winning.
I think it's just incredible, really, the way that the manager identified the problem, didn't he? That we were allowing too many shots on goal, like you said. And he can fix it. You know, that's the encouraging thing, that we can go out and fix it. 4 clean sheets on the spin. You know, most other teams, you lose 6-1 at home to your local rivals, are going to crumble. And I think everyone waited... for United, certainly the media thought we were going to collapse and this was going to be the start of something, you know, dramatic. We've come back, won 4 games on the trot, not letting a goal. OK, we're not playing perhaps as well as we were early in the season, but at least we know that we can get things right that quickly. You know, that's the important thing, I think, from this.
I love the fact we're trotting out the 4 clean sheets in a row. One was against Oldshot, one was against Galazzi, but
no,
I'll gloss over that one.
Positive spin, that's what we're all about.
Rooney was in midfield, Steve. He played there against the Romanians in the Champions League. Perhaps he was even deeper against Sunderland. How did you assess his performance?
He did well enough. He can play well anywhere because he's our best player. You know, I think everyone hopes it's a temporary measure because you want to see him up top, you know, holding the ball up, spreading it, and then getting on the end of crosses and just scoring goals. That's what he does best. I think it is just a temporary thing, just to get us back on our feet and bulk up the midfield a bit more. And plus, you know, the manager's already said that Michael Carrick's kind of a slow starter in the season. Anderson's form has been a bit up and down. Tom Cleverley's been injured and, well, a couple of times now, so the sooner he gets back, the better. And as well, Darren Fletcher's finding his way back from illness. So as soon as all these things come together, then we'll have more options at our disposal and we'll be able to play more recognised midfielders there and let Rooney get on with what he wants to do.
One other effective way, of course, playing in midfield, though I agree with Steve, I hope it's temporary too, it does actually create another space in the team for a striker. But, unfortunately, perhaps the strikers who've come in as a result haven't quite fired and haven't quite taken the opportunity to seize the chance to play and score goals. Obviously, Michael Owen, very unfortunate with the injury against Galati, wasn't it, where he stretched at the near post to make the chance for Valencia. But I think before long, Rooney will revert to his normal position. And the way it's been going, well, Hernandez has come in and scored a couple of goals and won our Player of the Month award on ManUnited.com. I think Danny Welbeck has done as much as anyone to deserve that place alongside Wayne.
Vidic and Ferdinand, Adam, were back in defence alongside each other. First time since West Brom, I think. Having them back together, forming that partnership which has been so solid for the last 2 or 3 years, it's fantastic news, isn't it? And let's hope they can both stay fit and continue to build that partnership back to the level it can play at.
Yeah, I think it's all about understanding, isn't it? And they've clearly got an excellent understanding. They complement each other very well. And of course, we know very well how good our sort of young deputy centre-halves, if you will, are and are proving to be. But when you're going through a sticky patch, you perhaps want to go back to what you know best and go back to the old reliable platform of Vidic and Ferdinand. And Anders Lindegaard certainly was pleased to play behind them. And as we'll hear in a moment, Nemanja was also pleased to play alongside Rio, for the first time in a long time.
Nemanja, since the Manchester derby, that's been 4 wins and 4 clean sheets. Do you think things have improved defensively since then?
I think so. I think we defend as a team. If you look at the whole 11 players, first to start with Chicha and Welbeck, the two players who play up front, they defend, they play for the team, and I think this is the reason why we have today 3 points. If you look at the way in terms of the performance, should we play a bit better football, should we create more chances? Yeah, I think so, but this will come through the games, and we just have to find the balance, and slowly we'll get there.
I don't think you've played with Rio since the first day of the season, so was it good to have that old partnership again back together?
Yeah, Rio is important for our team. Experience he has, confidence he gives to other players around is really important, and especially when we have the young players around. This is a player you can learn, and you can improve. I think today he played even left-hand side, and he has a great performance, and I hope he will stay fit, and with him we'll have more chance to win trophies.
Any sympathy for your old teammate Wes Bryan? It was his, in the end, it was his goal that separated the two teams.
Yeah, I think Wes is a professional player. He's very committed, and he showed today his class. But sometimes you are lucky as defender, and he was unlucky for that goal. But I'm glad for him. He's playing week in, week out, which he needs, obviously. And I wish him all the best. And I'm glad for him. He's playing all the time.
Well, United don't play again until Saturday, the 19th of November, when we make the trip to Wales to play Swansea. But more than a dozen Reds will be in action for their countries during this international break. Adam Nani and Darren Gibson have their Euro 2012 qualifying playoff games. Big games for both sides. Portugal against Bosnia-Herzegovina and Ireland against Estonia. Of course, we hope all the Reds involved in international action win and get through to the major tournament, because it's great to see them in action on the big stage.
It is, and it always has been, hasn't it? You know, always great seeing United players. You know, Steve says I'm old, remembering sort of Jesper Olsen and that playing for Denmark in the World Cup. It's always nice to sort of see the players. Norman Whiteside, even for Ireland, you know, probably even played for us.
Not quite that far.
So, yeah, I mean, Nani, I think it's his 50th cap I read somewhere today, potentially coming up in these games. So, I mean, look forward to him. He's too good a player not to play in the major championships like the one coming up, I think. Although Bosnia are going to be quite tricky for them. They're not a bad team themselves.
Dzeko, etc.
Yeah, they did well against France, didn't they? Mm. They're slightly unlucky to only draw that one. And Ireland, Gibbo's been training with them. Obviously, he's been injured. I'm not sure he'll get thrown in. He doesn't often start anyway under Trapattoni. He's got his own ideas about what he wants his midfielders to do, which seems to be sort of run around a lot.
not shoots, presumably.
Yeah. I think Gibbo's a bit cultured for what they like at times there. But they, you know, I mean, I think that's going to be harder than a lot of people are thinking. You know, Estonia have done well to finish above Serbia in that group. You know, I just think that might be tricky for the Republic. They don't score many goals, and they have to get a good result in the first leg, I think.
They don't let any in either, do they?
They don't let any in either. 2-0
nils written all over it.
As long as they keep it tight, I think, you know.
Nick a 1-0 in the home game.
That'll do them, won't it? Yeah,
yeah, we want to see Ireland get through, and Portugal too. As for England and many of the other countries, they're involved in friendlies, Adam. England is against Spain. No Rio in the squad. No Rooney, because Fabio Capello wants to look at other options, because of Rooney's ban, of course. But Phil Jones and Danny Welbeck are in. How do you assess that England group at the moment and United's involvement in it?
Well, I think it seems to be sort of between two teams, like two eras, if you will, at the moment. I think Capello's got this thing where he's got, you know, the last of the so-called golden generation, the Lampards and the Terrys and the Ferdinands, and then this very promising young batch, and you'd also throw into there someone like Daniel Sturridge from Chelsea. You know, it's an interesting situation because you've got a manager who's going to, yeah, take the team through to the finals in Poland and Ukraine in the summer, but then he'll say goodnight and off he goes. So, you know, he's kind of got a responsibility, I think, to the national team to try and look to the future. It's interesting, I've been listening to sort of phone-ins and things this week, and he appears to be getting hammered for leaving out certain players. And I thought previously the idea about friendlies was we wanted to see experimentation. That said, we are playing the world champions, and
they've not left anybody out.
Their second team's not bad, is it? Let's be honest. So it's an interesting one. Certainly, for me, Phil Jones and Danny Welbeck are already good enough to be in the squad for next summer. I don't know whether our friends in the London press would agree, but I think they are sort of beginning to claim places for themselves, and rightly so.
I think it's quite a shrewd move leaving out all the big names like this, because if England had put out the strongest team against Spain and they got absolutely mullered, what's to be gained from it?
This way we can say, well, we didn't have Rooney, we didn't have Wilshere, we didn't have Rio, we didn't...
Correct.
I can see the logic behind that thinking. Ashley Young as well, he is missing from the squad because of injury, sadly, Steve. Micah Richards, I saw tweeting, didn't he, about his absence from the squad. That was a surprise to me. But it's still a bit of a work in progress, which is a bit worrying for me when the tournament is, what, 9 months away? Less than that, even?
Yeah, less than that. I mean, to be honest, in my opinion, it doesn't really matter because they're not going to win it. No one's going to beat Spain. They're not going to beat Germany. You know, they've not got the quality that you would need to win it. And I don't think there's any real sense of optimism around England's chances going into this for once, which is, it's quite a refreshing realism, isn't it?
It is, actually. Yeah, no, it's very true. You know, we're always, you know, banging the drum from about now onwards, aren't we, and getting very excited. I'm sure our friends in the media will whip up a frenzy come next
June. If we beat Spain,
we beat Spain with our B team.
Yeah. Somehow. Flooded pitch or something.
Yeah, yeah. You know, perhaps we are, as I say, we've had a reality check. And I just think from our own players' point of view, it's just good for their development. It's another string to their bow, and they'll gain more experience.
Mm. Yeah, well said. And let's just hope that all of our players play well for their countries. Wish them all the very best, of course. But the main thing is come back free of injury, please. Okay, let's get some fans' questions now. Remember, if you want to get involved, then please email us at red.voices@manunited.co.uk. Shuel Mia from Blackpool has done. Shuel writes, Sir Alex has rotated the back four 15 times this season. Do you think this has caused problems defensively without that consistency? You can answer this one, Adam Marshall. I guess we chatted a bit about that earlier. Consistency is very important in your back line.
It is, and, you know, I mean, it's like Adam said, the understanding, isn't it, that Vidic and Ferdinand bring the back and the experience. I guess, you know, like, you want consistency in all areas of the team in an ideal world, but it doesn't really work like that anymore, does it? Not just rotation. But the fact that players get injured, it seems, sort of ever more than ever before. You know, it's very hard to keep the whole squad fit. You've always got one coming back or one picking up a knock, and it's good that Raphael maybe will come back quite soon and sort of compete for a place again at fullback. So the good thing is we've got so many good players that, you know, when we do bring them in, it doesn't matter too much. But then again, like you say, it is nice to have that same solid sort of back four that we can rely on.
Adam Bustock, you can answer this next one. It's from Adam O'Neill from Ireland. Ferguson will one day leave the club. The big question is who can replace him. Jose and David Moyes have been mentioned.
Nice easy one. Thank you for that.
You can have the curveball.
It's the it's the multi-million dollar question, isn't it? Really, it's. Just talking from a personal point of view, I think Jose Mourinho seems ideal in terms of his track record of success, you know, in a domestic league and also on the European front. In terms of his character, the fact that he, you know, can manage a team of big name players, you know, proven time and time again that he can manage the biggest names in the game. So he, for me, and it's just a personal view, would be ideal. He wouldn't be here for 25 years. I think we can say that straight away with certainty. That isn't the job. The job isn't to come in and be the next Sir Alex Ferguson. The job is to come in and ensure that the club continues to progress. It may be a short-term post, but I think for me he would be the one. Yeah, I mean, great admirer of what David Moyes has done at Everton. Fascinating to see what he could do with the budget, because obviously we all know very well that Everton don't have a lot of money to spend. What he has to work with, he does excellent. Does excellent work, but yeah, it's the one that we're all waiting to see what happens. But as Adam said earlier, hopefully not for a long time.
I'd wonder if Ollie could be a contender in years to come. I mean, he's, you know, cutting his teeth at Mould. He's won them the league, you know, which seems an incredible achievement really when you put it into context. He knows everybody here. He's still talked about in glowing terms, and he's had that upbringing. I mean, I know hopefully it's going to be a long way off when the manager does go, and that's what I mean, perhaps. That,
yeah, did I read some Alex's comments? Did I read into it too much when Ollie was linked with a Portsmouth job and Sir Alex said, don't come back just yet,
that's
Ollie.
Right, be patient, he said at that press conference. Yeah.
Did I read too much into that?
Well, maybe, I think you could probably say that he may need a job in England before he came in to be United, unless he got some kind of number two role perhaps here. But
Alex didn't. He had a job in Scotland.
That's very true. Yeah, look how well he's done. So, I mean, I think the fans would certainly, you know, warm to Ollie. And like I said, not necessarily now. In a few years, Champions League, of course, for them next year. So, you know, you never know. It could be a long way off yet.
He knows the club, he knows the culture, he's learned from the best. So why not? I mean, for me personally, at the minute, if the change happened now or next year, it would probably be Guardiola, just because he's probably the best young manager in the world. Yeah. I'd say Mourinho's conduct maybe could count against him. You don't see a lot of eye gouging at Old Trafford these days.
It would give us a lot to talk and write about, though.
It would. It'd be good value from a media point of view, but you know, whether the way he's acted is endearing to the board, I'm not sure.
Just one more on this. At the weekend, I was just in United and Press from MUTV, and one of the stories I read over the weekend was that Paul Scholes suggested Ryan Giggs could be the next Manchester United manager, that he would have all the tools to do the job and instantly command respect in the dressing room and worldwide. What do you think? Giggs to replace Sir Alex?
I don't know, walking straight in, it'd be a bit...
Guardiola did it at Barca. The man you've just mentioned.
It didn't walk straight in. He'd been away from the club. He didn't go from the dressing room, from being a player in the dressing room, to being the manager. I mean, it'd be a bit weird to see one of your mates promoted, wouldn't it? And then
be player
take
manager,
from
can he? You know, still be playing. 10 years, you know.
No, not as a first job. I think you need to cut your teeth elsewhere first.
Fair enough. OK, let's get to our last email for now. The transfer window is looming once again. Do you think we need to buy anyone? And if so, who? That's Jay Martin's from Manchester. Right, I'll come to you first, Steve. Do we need anyone, and if so, who?
I'd move heaven and earth to get Modric here, personally. But the problem with January is always going to be who's cup tied for Europe. So, probably not. Certainly no big money moves, I wouldn't imagine. Personally, I think Tom Cleverley could be the answer, because I think he not only brings a lot to midfield, I think he brings the best out in other midfielders around him. And just everything about his game really raises United's tempo and just influences everyone.
Adam, would you like to see anyone?
I wouldn't particularly in January, no, and I may disappoint our friend Jay, who asked the question, but I think the manager did set up his stall for the season. He's just been a little bit unfortunate with injuries to players like Tom Cleverley. And I think, you know, I think we should just stick with what he's got. And hopefully, you know, our fortunes will change. I think, you know, there's always a danger that you could actually buy the wrong player in January and have the opposite effect. You know, I think City, for example, should probably stick and not twist in the transfer window, because, you know, as Newcastle found out many, many years ago to their cost, the wrong player in January can upset the apple cart.
I think City did it as well, didn't they, a long time ago?
Who's that?
Rodney Marsh, I think, wasn't it? City did it. All went wrong for them, you know. So.
Would you like to see anybody arrive there?
Yeah, I think a midfielder, ideally, in an ideal world. The manager has said, hasn't he, that he's hinted that there's a couple of Hernandez-type signings that are on the radar. And by that, I don't think he means predatory strikers, because obviously we've got them. So
he means bargains.
Yeah, sort of rough diamonds, I guess.
You know, who undiscovered.
Yeah.
You know, who haven't been overhyped and overpriced, and they can come in and sort of fit in and maybe given a bit of time to settle in to the end of the season. I know normally we don't do an awful lot of business in January, but you know, we sort of signed Chris Smalling in January and sort of had him at the end of the season.
But did you never with January buys, weren't
they? Yeah, and Saha, I think, going back a bit further, wasn't he? So, I mean, you never know. I mean, I think it's, you know, sort of fair that we were maybe looking for a midfielder in the summer window, so it's not beyond the realms of possibility. It's just like Steve said, a lot of players are cup-tied, and it's the value of doing it, isn't it? And we'll only do it if it's right, no doubt.
OK, thanks, guys. But that is all from us for this week. Thanks to Adam Marshall, Adam Bostock, and to you, Steve Bartram. Thanks to you at home for listening as well. Remember, if you'd like to get in touch, do so. red.voices@manunited.co.uk. No game this week, of course, so no predictions from us, which is good news for the presenters, because we're trailing badly. But we'll be back again next week as we look ahead to the Swansea game. Bye for now.